The fame, you know, all of the slot receiver quotes. He's a coach on the field. Get last one in, last one out. First one in, last one out.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Someone said, let's win one for the Gipper. Someone said, second is the first loser. Yeah, we hate all these things.
True story, I was in coaching school 1 year, and a bunch of sports writers were sitting around thinking up cliches that coaches use. And John Jenkins, who was at the University of Houston at the time, walked into the room, and we're kind of like clamming up so we don't offend Jenkins. And Jenkins says, well, what's the story here? So Jenkins gave us about 25 of these things. Oh, John Jenkins is one of my all-time heroes because he had a great he had a line for everything.
Well, there we go. We need some new ones to work their way in over the coming years. All right, we're going to go to the big break. When we come back, the trade deadline will be over, so who knows what will even happen. And we have a little high school football tactics conversation when we come back, and whether or not we think the spread is here for the long term or if they will move to something else in the next decade or so. We'll talk about that in the second hour, so come back with us. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Your favorite team, the Yankees, Astros, Rangers, and Texans, all play on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. This is KZNE, KND HD3, and KND HD4 K274 CM. College Station Bryan. Flag.
I'm Brett Jackerman. This report is brought to you by Subway. Fall in love with a new guacamole at Subway. Perfectly made from Hass avocado with just a hint of jalapeno. Grab one with your favorite footlong today. Subway, eat fresh. The baseball trade deadline has now passed, and the Mets, who have had a crushing last 48 hours, may have eased that pain a bit by reportedly acquiring Yonis Cespedes from the Tigers. The Blue Jays and Royals, the two teams that acquired number one starters this week, will meet tonight in Toronto, and the Royals will send their new acquisition, Johnny Cueto, to the mound. After getting Troy Tulowitzki and David Price, the Blue Jays added more pieces today, picking up Ben Revere from the Phillies and reliever Mark Lowe from Seattle. Price still getting acclimated to his new surroundings, but after being dealt last year at the deadline, he said this time around it was no issue.
It's definitely easier to go through it. I mean, anything's easier to go through once you've already been through it once, you know, and to be in the situation that I was in last year, to be a part of Tampa's organization, you know, for seven seasons, you know, it definitely made it a little bit tougher, you know, to get traded. But I was prepared for it, so it's part of the business.
The Marlins sent Dan Haran to the Cubs. The Orioles acquired Gerardo Parra from the Brewers, who also send Jonathan Broxton to the Cardinals. The Astros have opened up a three-game lead in the AL West and will host the Diamondbacks after a sweep of the Angels, who will take on the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw tonight. Russell Wilson has had nothing but success in his first 3 years in the NFL, and today was rewarded handsomely with a four-year extension before the start of training camp. Total package of the deal, $87 million. $31 million comes in a signing bonus. I'm Rich Ackerman.
This is Jim Rome. You are in the Jungle weekdays from 12 until 3 Eastern, right here on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Zinert with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by R.P. Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. Franklin's new Bait and Jamboree is tomorrow. Enjoy entertainment by the Sunshine Strummers, Terry Barnett and the Swingin' On Band, and the Hall Brothers. Hamburger sales start at 5, the show starts at 6. Catholic Family Fraternal of Texas is holding its 17th annual community fundraiser garage sale for charities tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the St. Joseph Elementary School gym. For information, call Liz at 224-2844. Rio Brazos Audubon Society invites you to their free beginning bird walk tomorrow at Lake Creek Park. Meet at the Chimney Swift Kiosk near the parking lot at 7:30. Today, a 30% chance of showers, mostly sunny and hot, high of 99. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers, partly cloudy and 76. Grab a buddy and grab your clubs and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course each Wednesday for the Zone Shootout. You can click on the events tab on zone1150.com for more information.
This is Texas Controller Glenn Hager. By making small changes to your flower bed and gardens, you can make sure we have plenty of safe drinking water. Water plants deeply, but less frequently to encourage deep roots and drought tolerance. Then add a layer of mulch to minimize evaporation. Be water smart and protect our water resources for future generations of Texans. Get more tips at TexasWaterSmart.com and WaterIQ.org.
Texas drivers trust Germania. Did you know that 9 out of 10 Germania auto policyholders stay with Germania year after year? Germania has competitive rates, discount options, and exceptional claim service 24/7. So if you don't have your auto insured by Germania, give them a call today or visit germaniainsurance.com and find out why Germania is the insurance Texans trust.
Trust Germania.
Ice Arena is cooling things down this summer with a schedule packed full of icy activities for you and your family. Our sensational summer camps have already begun and will continue throughout the summer. Ages 5 to 12 are welcome. We offer private skating lessons, Zamboni lessons, broom ball, hockey, and more. Plus, we host the coolest birthday parties in town. Come chill out with us during Public Skate open 7 days a week. For more information on all the cool things we have to offer, visit spiriticearena.com today. That's spiriticearena.com.
Summer is here, so it must be Harvest Festival time. Make plans now to join the Messina-Hoff Winery family every weekend in August for the 38th annual Harvest Festival. Enjoy grape picking, traditional grape stomping, wine and food pairings, specialty dinners, and so much more. Messina-Hoff's estate winery is located at 4545 Old Reliance Road in Bryan. That's the 38th annual Harvest Festival at Messina-Hoff Winery and Resort. Get all your Harvest Festival information online at messinahoff.com/harvest.
If you tune in this summer and hear Chip,
something terrible has happened.
Sports talk without Chip all summer long. Weekdays from 4 to 6 on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Giannis Cespedes now plays for the Mets.
Mets finally got a trade.
Yeah. That Mets-Astros World Series is going to be one for the ages.
Okay. Mark that down. Know where
probably don't mark that down.
Okay.
Well, we were joking earlier in the season that the Cubs-Astros World Series would be the all-time. Maybe the all-timer. It would be kind of funny for the Cubs finally to get back and then lose to a team that had never won a World Series. Would be pretty good. But
yeah.
Bill, basically anything that results
in the Rangers, it'd be okay.
No, it'd be better if it was the Astros. I think we all agree. All right, we're back. We're still brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming this season at mscopus.org. Lots of great shows and cool events. All the ticket information, all that stuff, mscopus.org. Go check that out. You can hit us up. Text us, 229-1939. We were getting to everybody's cliches and phrases and like really just kind of turning into any series of words that you hate. We had one final one saying, he's in the zone.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I know what they're talking about, though, when they say
I like that.
I
mean, one,
I get
though.
That.
Yeah.
But you hear it all the time.
He's in the zone.
He's in the zone.
Yeah, so there you go.
Have you ever played sports, though? I mean, you get in that time where you're beyond all logic. You're doing stuff that doesn't make any sense. I mean, you're like hitting every shot on the basketball court and stuff like that. And if you ever stop to think about it, then you're out of the zone.
Yeah, you're done. You've lost the zone. By the way, the Astros just posted their lineup for tonight. Carlos Gomez will bat second. So the new Astros order, Altuve, Gomez, Correa, Tucker, then Gattis tonight in the batting order. So Altuve in the leadoff spot. I guess we're gonna see what Gomez can do for the Astros.
See you in the first inning, won't we?
I thought we would take a little bit this is a hard left. We're switching gears completely here, but take a little bit and kind of talk about, because you do the high school stuff so often, and we've seen over the last, I don't know what now, 10, 15 years, the rise of the spread offense.
No, longer than that if you go to the smaller classifications.
But
the 5A's and 6A's, yeah, that's probably
the question I thought we'd bring up and talk about on the show and see what y'all think out there is that, how long is that going to be here to stay? Is there going to be another? Are you starting to see in the lower classifications or anything a move another direction? Is the era of the spread going to come to an end anytime soon? I personally think that there's a few things that have kind of made the spread self-sustaining. One of them is the way you can practice it with 7-on-7. The other is with the concern over concussions and stuff. The practices aren't as physical if you're practicing running a spread offense than if you're running a – well, I think if you're practicing a spread, it's different than if you're practicing a triple option, maybe. But
I think you still run into people. I don't think I mean, I don't think that and you run into people maybe in the open field, and the concussions could be even worse in those cases. The concussions I see are not guys very often making tackles near the line of scrimmage. It's somebody going across the middle and somebody – Yeah, you know, two guys going head to head when it's not intended to be that way.
But yeah, so I mean, those things I think kind of go in together, especially the ability to practice it in 7-on-7 that have kind of made it self sustaining. But is there a counter move coming? Anything that you're seeing up there?
You know, I don't think so, to be honest with you. It might be. I do see some of the smaller schools going back to more running games from people that ran spread. It just didn't seem to fit them as well. So I see some of the schools doing that. And it may build from that to the larger schools, but right now I think the spread's got the advantages. And you never change the rules to help the defense. That didn't get done at any level.
No,
I mean it just doesn't get done because people assume the game's more entertaining if you get more offense in the game. And right now the defense is just still can't keep up with it. If you ever wanted to pass a rule to slow the spread down, change the rule on where you can make contact, because behind the line of scrimmage you can make. You can make contact. It's basically a legal pass interference.
They would change that. I've said they should change that at the college level because that is the case at the pro level.
But that would hurt the spread if you did it. I mean, because everybody runs those slip screens, those tunnel screens, whatever you want to call them. They run those things, and so you're allowed to make contact with your offensive lineman downfield as long as that completion is behind the line of scrimmage. And the other thing that I think would help if you ever got guys who were umpires and moved them to the outside to officiate, they'd call more holding than gets called on wide receivers these days.
Yeah, I do wish they would kind of go to the same rule they have in the NFL, and that's that you can't block. Let's say you're throwing at one, like a tunnel screen or whatever you want to call it, a slip screen, and the guy catches it behind the line of scrimmage. You can block, but not until he catches it.
Right.
Right now,
that would change it a lot.
We're getting into the weeds a little bit on what, and if y'all don't know what we're talking about, right now in high school, and I believe even in college still,
yes,
you can go downfield and block whoever you want as long as the pass is completed behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be completed before you start blocking. So you can run out there and start blocking whoever, and then the pass can be completed.
Right.
But in the NFL, you can't engage a defender until the pass is completed.
Correct.
So that would make a big difference. And that's one thing I think they should do to help defenses a little bit, because it's absurd. And especially now, I don't know what they call them. I think Auburn calls theirs like a pop pass. But that sort of run pass option, the first time I ever saw it was Baylor did it a little bit with RG3. And then I saw Tyvee do it when I went to watch a Manziel game.
Right.
And they'll essentially run an option to one side of the field. And then if a corner comes up to make a play, then they'll throw it over the head of the corner to the wide receiver. That's too hard on the defense, especially if you're letting guys go downfield and block. So it's impossible to read. So
I saw that Aaron Conroe ran that same kind of ball. You got to have the right quarterback to do it, a guy who understands what he's doing.
Yeah, you can't just do it with anybody. But I do think, like you said, I think the blocking rule would help a lot.
Just to clarify, the NCAA rules are what Texas uses for the high school rules. And so if the NCAA changes it, Texas has to change it unless they make an exception, which occasionally they will do. But not very often. So the rules are pretty much the same. But I just think the spread's got advantages now. And there's a lot of things they do. I mean, getting larger splits in the offensive line is part of the deal. They create natural holes. Or maybe they bring them in a little bit when they're running sweeps. But it works well. You still got to call good plays. You still got to have people who call the right plays at the right time. But I think the offense has got a big advantage right now. And the defenses have not quite figured out ways to cut part of that down without giving up something. And I think that's the problem. I've always thought that the best way to stop the spread is to pressure it. Now, people say that's not going to work. You got to have people, more people back. They'll eat you up doing that. But the people that I've seen have success against it, that's what they do. They'll bring, like, defensive ends from the outside, and they'll crash at that quarterback, and they'll hit him.
Well,
you know? Now, you might get penalized now these days.
I was going to say, there's a lot of things that go into that. For one, the thing that will always stop it, if you're fast enough to be able to play man-to-man across the field, then you're going to be fine against the spread. We've seen that throughout history. If you're fast enough, then you can kind of offset it a little bit with that. But the other thing that helps it kind of keep going is we kind of lump all the spreads in together. But that's right. One of the big advantages of it is it's so flexible that you can be a spread team and never throw it. We've seen a little bit of those. Was it Cove a few years ago? That was essentially essentially a veer team, but just out of the spread.
Right.
They always had their slot guy or H-back, whatever you want to call him, in motion. And they essentially jet sweep him and then option with the running back. Mm-hmm. So they were essentially sort of a veer triple option team, but just out of the spread formation. To where a team like Allen or a team like Kerrville when Manziel was there, and even the year after that, they throw it 60 times out of the spread. So it's the same position, but you can use it for a lot of different things.
We need to, Brian Cope's going to be on here, and they run the spread at A&M Consolidated. He's going to be our guest today on the high school report. We need to ask some of these questions during the course of the deal of the advantages that the spread has and how they work against the defense. But I just don't think defensive coordinators have caught up with it yet, and I do think it's an offense that, and first time I saw it, I thought, my gosh, this is really working well. and I don't know where the concept came from, but because first time I saw it was at the high school level in Texas. But it's run everywhere now. Everybody runs the spread, and it is an advantage. I mean, you definitely have some offensive advantages by running that offense. But, you know, some people, you know what it's done, Aubrey? I think it's made football a little bit more like basketball, and it's a matchup. If you have the right players, you were talking about guys who could play man-to-man in the secondary. If you have the right players, you match up better against the spread. Might not match up well against a veer team because you're a better spread team, you know.
Right.
And so you get weird. You get weird matchups at the high school level and at the college level too.
You mentioned the blocking rule. Is there another rule that you would change to help the defenses out a little bit?
I don't know. I sometimes think we change rules for no logical reason, but I think that's. I just think. You know, I see wide receivers all the time that get away with stuff that offensive linemen can't get away with. They're going to get flagged for those things. And I always find that fascinating, you know, to see how you can do that. But, you know, maybe I'm just reading it wrong. Offensive coaches will tell me I'm wrong. But I don't know. I don't know that I have a specific rule change. Although I think if you did change that rule where if you throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage, you can't block downfield, I think that would be the biggest change and that would hurt the spread in a big way.
Yeah, it would just make it a little bit easier to. It's a simple change, and it wouldn't really even affect all that many plays, but the plays it would affect would make a big. The safeties would no longer have to read, you know, they would get a better read off the offensive line than what they do now.
Mm-hmm.
So it would help them a whole lot. But here we go. So kind of looks at a few random things about the spread in the high school ranks, and we kind of see it. You know what? I think it was Mike Leach that might have talked about this one time that said, you know, the higher up you get, the less creative it gets. You know, and so he would go out and he would drive hundreds of miles to see some high school run one play because he heard about it or, you know, whatever
right.
It was back when he was first getting started. That you sort of see what starts in the high school ranks trickles up. Over time, we're starting to see it. The spread is just now reaching the NFL,
yeah.
And you're starting to see it the last few years, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Colts, a few of these different teams.
I still don't think it'll ever work as well in the NFL as it will at the college and high school level because the athletes are just so good.
Well, I've wondered if they should narrow the field in high school. This was one of my ideas.
Wow,
if we're talking
that.
About really wild ideas, because that's one thing, the reason it doesn't work so well in the NFL is everyone's so fast that the advantages you get, the angles and stuff like that, don't help as much because everyone's so fast they can close them down. In high school, that's not the case. So you're talking like radical transformations. That's one I've tossed around before, is whether or not they should narrow the field a little bit in high school. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. But well, like I said, just something that popped into mind.
And that would kill Mike Leach because he would spread that offensive line from almost from sideline to sideline. I've never seen bigger splits than what Texas Tech used to run when Leach was there.
Right, and it would help the defense a little bit. They'd have to defend less ground. Someone said. Spread makes a 300-pound defensive lineman almost obsolete. And we've seen this true. I actually disagree a little bit. I think the defensive linemen still have a place because they can still hold the gaps and control those gap run plays. I think it has affected them some. I'm not saying you're wrong. But the position I think is it affected more is linebackers. Texas yeah. used to have all kinds of linebackers, and now this state is in a dearth of linebackers. I mean, there's no place for them. There's nothing going on in the middle of the field for linebackers anymore. So,
linebackers are what would have been strong safeties in years past. I mean, because guys have to be able to move around. You still see some big guys that can move well and hit hard, but there are times when they're at a disadvantage. Dalen Mack, by the way, about made my exception to the rule on that 300-pound defensive lineman.
That's the thing. They've got to be more multiple. I mean, because they can't, they can't just sit there in the A gap and hold up people. They've got to be able to do a little bit of a pass rush, read some of the zone read stuff. They've got to be able to do all that.
Yeah, there are challenges, but even a good running offense presents challenges for linebackers. Yeah. I mean, you were talking about the jet sweep. A&M Consolidated was a running team, and they ran power offense, but they ran that jet sweep guy across long enough. That linebacker had to worry about, was he going to get the handoff and outrun me to the corner?
Yeah, and that's what I was kind of getting at. Is I think the linebacker, because no one attacks the middle of the field in the run game. Even if they're running it, they still attack the edges in the spread. We've seen that a lot. So. That I would say the biggest position that it's hurt in this, well, running back and linebacker are the two positions we've seen just don't seem to be as many good players in the high school ranks.
I think it tends to be a different style running back than what we're used to seeing. Now, occasionally you'll have a high school guy come along like Kiki Johnson last year.
Yeah, well, Keith Ford over at the one that's now transferred to A&M. I mean, there's still some power backs out there.
But, yeah.
But you're used to the quicker guys now. Someone said the spread comes from the old run and shoot, which is partially true. There's some key differences.
Yeah, it's got a lot of differences.
Some of the route packages, though, the concepts are similar. That as far as the passing game goes, it certainly comes from that. And then someone said offensive linemen are easier to call penalties on because receivers run faster. So there you go.
To run away from the guy that's throwing the flag? I just don't think they see
him. No. Well, receivers are much better at – I get what they're saying is that they're better at hiding it because they're quicker.
Oh, I disagree. I think linemen are a lot more devious.
Well, certainly. But I think the reason the receivers can get away with something is because of the speed.
But they're out in the open.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They don't have to hold very long. So, like, if you're holding
– that may be true.
Yeah, you don't have to do it for very long. Like, if you're a lineman and you're holding, you've got to really hold.
Yeah, learn when to let go. That's exactly right.
Yeah, it doesn't take much for a receiver.
I'll buy that.
All right, there we go. Just a few different thoughts on that. We'll talk more as the season goes on and we see a little more, well, any football really compared to right now. Let's go to break. When we come back, it's Friday. Got to hit y'all with a little bit. I'm admitting it's a weak one this week, but we'll hit you with a little bit of space news when we come back. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Whether at work or play, your trucks and equipment take a beating every day. Make them last with Rhino Lining Protective Coatings. If you're investing in a new truck or just looking to add life to your existing truck, trailer, RV, and equipment, Rhino Linings is a proven solution. The new Rhino Extreme Coating offers superior resistance against chemical, rust, and corrosion, as well as durable impact resistance to withstand those heavy loads. If you want an industrial strength truck bed liner, go extreme. Get yours today at Texas Custom Outfitters on Highway 6 in Navasota. Call for more info, 936-870-3009.
Fall into fun with Bryan Broadcasting's Brass's Family Magazine. Find out how to keep your kids healthy with an article on the important checkups your child needs for back to school. And be sure to check out our after-school activity guide. Brass's Family is a local magazine full of local stories. For information about advertising in this back-to-school issue of Brass's Family Magazine, call Sam Jones at Bryan Broadcasting or email sam@bryanbroadcasting.com.
Coca-Cola Family Packs are back for another season of Texas Rangers Baseball. Bring a family of four out to Globe Life Park and enjoy the perks of one of the best offers available. Get four hot dogs, four Coca-Cola soft drinks, four tickets, plus two Kids Zone wristbands and one souvenir program for $69 in the upper reserve section or $113 in the lower reserve section. Visit TexasRangers.com/specials to buy your Coca-Cola Family Pack. Offer valid for most Sunday through Thursday regular season home games.
It's summertime and a great time for sizzling hot deals at Norma G Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Norma G Tractor. At Norma G Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. And right now, get the best deal of the summer with the Kubota L2501F 25 horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot land pride shredder complete with an $800 finance rebate and a $500 cash rebate. Only $1,195 or 10% down in payments of only $156 per month. Norman G asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Need to finance? Norman G makes it easy with zero down payment and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. And remember, most any trade can be your down payment. Norman G Tractor, voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials at normangtractor.com. Located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Norman G Tractor.
Each Wednesday evening, grab a friend and grab your clubs and head out to the Travis Bryant Municipal Golf Course. It's the Zone Shootout. It's a two-person, nine-hole shotgun start scramble tournament with prices for net, gross, and skins. Prices for net, gross, and skins. Make sure to register your team by 3 o'clock day of. And the cost is only $28. For more info or to check out the weekly winners, visit the events tab at zone1150.com. Grab a friend and grab your clubs and head out to the Travis Bryant Municipal Golf Course. It's the Zone Shootout. Visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
Blue moon, you saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. Blue moon,
welcome back.
You knew just
Aggie
what
Nation,
I was
powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, David Campbell. Fitting intro song for this week's edition. I think we've got the music keyed up. We've switched out people pushing the buttons and levers over there mid show, but I think we've got it set up. Time for a little bit of space news. There we go. This week's space news. A couple things. This one, first one's not really news. That is, we do have a blue moon tonight. The second full moon of the month of July. Happens about once every 2.5 to 3 years, apparently, is what...
It's once in a blue moon, right?
Yeah. So there you go. In a blue moon is really only about once every 2.5 years. But that's still fairly rare.
Yeah, somewhat rare.
Second full... That's what a blue moon is, in case you did not know. The second full moon cycle of the month. So there you go. Starts tonight. So that's not really news because you know it's coming for a while, but we do some actual space news. That is, yesterday, astronomers said they found a planetary system with three super Earths orbiting a bright dwarf star. Now, I said last week we've got to up our planet naming game because we had the, what was it, Kepler 452b?
Yeah, right.
All right, you didn't like that one.
No,
wait till you hear this one. This one is HD 219134123.
That's my password.
We got to step our game up. So, the first planet, HD 219134b, has a 3 days for a year, just zips around the sun. Pew. Over there, it's only about this system is only about 21
light years away. Imagine how many vacation days I would have if I only worked 3 days a year.
You'd have like a half hour of vacation.
I would have been working here for like 3,000 years.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You'd have sorted all up, but your vacation would be, I don't know, 15 minutes maybe. Then the other one has about 1,000 day a year. Another one about 200 days, but. So it's interesting because they are all rock planets, they believe, orbiting the well-known HD 219134 near the
rock
constellation
planets. Rock planet. I like that. It's got possibilities.
Yeah. Near Cassiopeia is the constellation that they are in. So there you go. They are just 21 light years from Earth. Relatively, that's right next door.
Yeah.
They're practically
right around the corner.
Practically in our backyard, our cosmic backyard.
And so they're rock planets.
That is this week's space news. We also have a little bit of Today in Aggie History.
And now, Today in Aggie History.
July 31st, 1977, Jack K. Williams became the A&M System Chancellor. Later on, the administration building on campus would be named for him, so that's the Jack Williams Administration Building. Also on this date in 2002, A&M President Ray Bowen, class of 1958, resigned his position to teach in the Department of Mechanical Engineering. He was A&M President from 1994 to 2002 and retired in 2010. So there you go.
Want to go back to working on cars, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like
so,
that.
So there you go. Lots of good stuff today. Like I said, we got space news. We've got Today in Aggie History. We have all sort of things. Weird news. Let's get to some weird news. You messed up the other one. It's Yanis Cespedes. This one, Yasiel Puig. Is that how he says
from
it?
The Dodgers.
Puig.
Puig.
Right. He's crediting his recent hot streak on switching from playing FIFA, the soccer video game. to playing baseball video.
Playing a baseball game instead of the soccer game.
Right. That's what he's giving credit to.
Okay.
So there you go.
Good information.
I don't know that would help him, but he says it did. So there you go. If you're struggling at the plate out there in your local softball league,
play the sport that you're actually playing.
Yeah, start playing different MLB games. Someone said we should name all planets after Disney characters.
Like Pluto, right?
Well, the problem here, I have a feeling that probably the dog was named after the planet, but
yeah, maybe.
There's not that many Disney characters. This is the problem with naming.
Oh, there's a million Disney characters.
Well,
I
there's
disagree
billions
with
of planets. That's the problem.
Well, we gotta start somewhere. It's you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what if we discover life on one of these, and then they're stuck with that forever? Like, oh, hey, we just received a radio transmission from Simba. turns out there's some, you know, pre-industrial or post-industrial colony there, and then that's just the planet Simba forever.
Yeah,
it's risky.
Well, but if you're like circling the sun like in 3 days, that'd be a quick circle of life, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they'd be not a lot of time to Hakuna Matata when you're circling the planet or the sun every 3 days. And then you know what if it was named for like a bad guy? Then we already are gonna like not trust the people, you know. So it's tough.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I mean, I do think I don't like the numbers and letters, but I maybe Disney characters might not quite be the way to go, but.
All right.
But maybe so.
It didn't bother Goofy. You would want Goofy.
If we run into the Goofians of...
The Goofians.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if there's people
The Goofians have landed on our planet.
Yeah, if the Goofians invade, then no one's going to want any part of that. So, there you go. So maybe we will figure that out. All right. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Brian Cope's going to join us, talk a little... I mentioned talking some football. Maybe we'll come in flying with some hot questions.
Oh, we're going to ask him about some of that... that spread offense stuff because he's an expert.
There you go. We'll ask him. Come back with us. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Bill Oliver with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Bryan, school board members will be discussing whether to ask voters this November to increase the property tax rate. Board President David Stasny brought up the idea at a meeting earlier this month. At the time, if voters approved an increase of 2 cents, that would generate $1.2 million from property owners, plus another $800,000 from the state. Updated estimates will be given to the board on Monday. There will be at least one new member of the Bryan School Board following the November election. Retired Bryan ISD administrator and teacher Ruthie Wilkins Waller is filing for the single-member District 4 seat, now held by Kelly Levy, who is not seeking re-election. Also up for re-election, at-large member Tommy Bosquez, who tells WTAW News he plans to file in the near future. Filing deadline's August 24th. An ex-wife who thought she hired a hitman to kill her ex-husband, then was arrested when the hitman was a College Station police detective, has made a deal on her punishment. 35-year-old Nicolette Beard of Willis could have received life in prison after a Brazos County District Court jury convicted her of solicitation to commit capital murder. Instead, she agreed to serve 15 years in exchange for giving up her right to appeal the verdict and prison sentence. Beard was arrested in September 2013 after making an $800 down payment on the $4,000 price to have her ex killed over a child custody dispute. Last week, WTAW News told you about Texas A&M and the A&M system planning a 3,400-bed student housing complex at George Bush and Penberthy. Yesterday, officials unveiled more details about the Park West development. The public-private arrangement calls for A&M to receive more than $600 million over the next 30 years. Among the questions asked of System Vice Chancellor Philip Ray was why the university could not take less money in order to reduce student expenses.
We've had formal market studies. We've actually had two talking about the rates that are involved and the current demand, future demand, all of those things that we've looked at. And as the president said, we're at or below market rates on this housing.
A date for groundbreaking has not been set, but completion is expected sometime in 2017. The local electric providers, BTU and College Station Utilities, report having no trouble providing service, but it is an issue with the operator of the statewide electric grid, which reports record consumption for July for the fourth straight day. That's why everyone's being asked to conserve between 3 and 7 p.m. Suggestions are online at WTAW.com. I'm Bill Oliver on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM.
It's time for Tailgater Truths, presented by Dish. Truth number 29. Game day without HD is like a tailgate without bacon-wrapped bacon with a side of bacon. With the Tailgater from Dish, you get mobile satellite TV and quarterback sacking HD. It sets up in 15 quick minutes or less and automatically connects to a satellite signal. So the only games you're playing are the ones you want to. Plus, there's no long-term contracts. You can pay as you go. Or add the Tailgater to your Dish Home account for only $7 a month. So fire up the grill and the TV and start making tail greatness this season. Just be sure to use a napkin before touching that remote, Mr. Bacon Fingers. To learn more, visit dish.com/tailgate. Restrictions include prepayment of all monthly and one-time fees.
We invite you to join us for the Junior League of Bryan College Station Stuff the Bus School Supply Drive, a community-wide collection of school supplies for the children in our area on Thursday, August 6th at the Brazos Center and both HEB Tejas and HEB Tower Point locations. For more information, visit jlbcs.org.
Talk about your favorite local teams with your favorite local hosts. 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays on Zone FM 102.7.
All right.
And Sports Radio 1150. Now, it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Normally, we make a call to the bullpen for this segment, but David, you've been with us the whole show, so why change now? It's time for the High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozier, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozier, proudly supporting the youth of our community. David, you have one of the guys in charge of leading the youth.
Sure do. Got Brian Cope on with us today. And Coach, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you being on.
Hey, no problem, David. Always fun to get together and talk with you and Larry on the radio.
I tell you what, we talked to you earlier in the week because you guys had all kinds of meetings going on getting ready for football season while we were out there doing our media day, and we really appreciate that. You guys have been kind enough to host this the last couple of years and really had a good time there, and appreciate you guys letting us use the facilities and kind of buying a little room for us out there because I know you were busy.
Oh, what a great event that y'all started over the last 2 years. Be able to get all the teams together, not just the 5A teams and the 4A teams, even the everyone around. And I think it's fun. I think our kids had just as much fun talking to the College Station High kids as they did talking to the Burton kids.
That's good.
And I think it really brings everybody together. There's a lot of similarities in every program, and there's a lot of differences. And it's fun for those kids to to learn all about those kind of things.
All right, because you guys did spring drills, you don't start football practice next week, but it's not like you're not going to be around football next week because you got your Tiger football camp. Everybody in town, I think all the high schools in town, Brian and College Station, have got camps going next week. But you wrote the thing you sent out, it makes me want to run out on the field. The thing you sent, it says, football in Texas is legendary. So it seems to fit that all future Tigers attend the annual Tiger football camp. Tell me all about the Tiger football camp and what you guys, the age kids that can be part of this, and just give me all the background on it.
Yeah, I think it's a great event. We go from our third through our ninth grade campers, and it's divided up into two camps. Our third through sixth grade have a peewee camp where they're kind of having a lot more fun and being introduced to football. Some of them haven't ever been around the game, and it's such a great game. I think it's great, such life lessons that it's fun for them to get to learn and get to enjoy the game. Our 7th, 8th, and 9th grade camp is a little different. They still have a lot of fun and different activities, but they also are learning different schemes because we're fortunate to have a feeder system through AMC Middle School, and it gives us an opportunity that our base offense and our base defense, even our varsity run, is our junior high gets to run as well. So it gives them a little background along with testing them in some different skills and drills, a pump, pass, and kick contest and things like that. That really kind of excite the kids about it, and they have a lot of fun.
Well, and there's a little bit of workout time involved in this to kind of, and I would think it would probably be when you actually do begin to take the field, when we're talking about the ninth graders, basically, that can't hurt to have been out there. Although I've been out to your place, there's guys working out all the time.
There is. We've had a great ninth grade turnout this year in our SAC camp, and I think that's going to carry over into our football camp and carry over into the year. It's a really good class with a lot of good leadership and a good basis has been given to them in our junior high system, and can't wait to see what they're going to produce as a class.
All right, Brian, if somebody wants to get in touch and compete in this camp or be part of this camp, which is going to get started on Monday, what do they do? How do they get in touch with you guys and let them know that you want to be, they want to be a part of this?
You know, we're starting it goes from 9 in the morning till noon, and we'll be at the field house. Tell them just to show up, and we'll be glad to take care of them, get them signed up, and get them ready to go.
Well, I'm going to use this kind of as a jumping point off to talk a little bit about what the other guys are doing in town. I think you'd agree with me that the head coaches we've got and some great assistant coaches in town, everybody that's going to a camp is probably going to get a pretty good experience next week, and Coach Raffield's and your camp is going to be one of those. But I did want to mention, Rutter's got their camp that runs from August 3rd through 5th, 6th graders to 9th graders, and you can contact Jared Hunt there. It's jaredhunt@brianisd.org. College Station's camp is 2nd graders through 6th graders and then 7th through 9th, so they kind of break it up sort of like you guys do. And Steve Huff is the guy to contact there, which is shuff. It's csisd.org. And for Brian's camp, this is going to take me a minute, but Keith Muehlstein is the coach, so I want to be sure I spell Keith's name right. It's keith.muehlstein, Muehlstein at brianisd.org. And everybody's got camps going next week, and it's kind of a, I guess for the coaches, you guys are up there doing camps, but you're probably doing preparation for what's to come the following week too.
Yeah, I think it's key. I think that you always want to have everyone on the same page, and you want them using the same key words. You want them really understanding what your program is all about. And I think that we'll have camp in the morning, and we'll still continue our coaches' meetings in the afternoon to be able to get ready to go to have a great 2015 football season.
All right, Brian, obviously you guys, as we pointed out, you don't start next week, but a lot of people do. From the 4A level down, just about everybody's going to begin their practices next week. You'll do it in another week. What are these guys going through from the coach's standpoint? What are they doing right now this week getting set for practice next week?
You know, I think they're getting all their practice schedules laid out and their practice scripts, the certain plays they're going to run in different segments that they're doing. You know, I believe it was 2 or 3 years ago, the UIL came with different rules for two-a-day. And the two-a-day format that we grew up in, and that doesn't really exist anymore. you know, with our practice schedules, we're out for an hour, in for a short period of meetings, out for another hour, in for meetings and different things like that, to really maximize our time, but also to make sure that we're putting our kids, their safety is our number one concern. And so when you're going through there, you're just trying to make sure that all your stuff fits within the UIL rules, and then after that's done, making sure that coaches know in each section of your practice what they're going to be coaching and what they need to be looking for the whole time.
Brian Cope is who we're talking to. Brian's the offensive coordinator for the A&M Consolidated Tigers. And Brian, when those rules came down from the UIL, which did limit practice times, I know some guys had a tough time with those initially, but I think coaches just do this. They adapt to whatever the rules are, and that's what you guys did, and that's what just about everybody's done. And it seems like it now is working out pretty well for everybody.
Oh, I think it's a great format that we've come up with from our practice schedule standpoint. But also, like the UIL was trying to do, they weren't trying to hamper coaches at anything from there. They were just trying to be able to give them an opportunity to be able to have the kids be as successful as possible, but also with their safety in mind. Because first and foremost, with all the rules and regulations and the limiting of contact abilities and things like that, that it's been a good thing, I think, with all the rule changes.
Do you think the UIL could come up with anything for, like, aging sports writers, like, say, Larry Bowen, you know, who would have to be out in the sun? You know, we can make some kind of adaptations for things like that?
Well, I think all press boxes should definitely have elevators first and foremost.
I agree with that, yeah. That's good. Well, maybe about the only exercise we get, though, is walking up the steps on occasion. So, actually, we were talking about the spread offense, and Aubrey brought up the idea of will this ever change? I mean, is the spread here to stay, or does this become one of those things at some point the defenses are going to figure out ways to slow you guys down? Now, I know what you're thinking right now. They're never going to figure out any way to do that, but you know there'll be some adaptations and people will continue to do things. Do you ever see kind of the spread kind of moving out of what we're doing right now, where we see a lot of it?
Well, I think it's variations of the spread that are going on. You know, if you look at Gus Malzahn at Auburn, you know, his spread is just as much wing T as it is spread football concept.
Right.
And you know, you look at other teams who are throwing the ball, you know, 60, 70 times a game, and others are still in the four wide and they're running it 40, 50 times a game. I think what I love about high school football and love about it is every year, you know, we're not recruiting our kids. You know, we don't have a system, and every year that system has to be tweaked depending on who you have. There's years you could have a great quarterback and an average tailback. There's other years you could have two great tailbacks and a really good quarterback. You know, and you just have to make sure your system, you know, we played in the quarterfinals. We had three Division I wide receivers and a walk-on Division I quarterback, along with the running back that's playing at Blinn right now. So you have to modify it in comparison to what you have each year. Also depends, of course, on your big guys up front, because without them, you're not going to win many football games. And so you have to modify and see what they can do and then adjust to it accordingly.
You know, I see spread, you're talking about the big guys up front, but I see in spread offenses, people do so many different things with their offensive linemen, but I don't know that that's changed anything from what it's been over the years. Some people zone block, some people do a lot of pulling, they do a lot of moving their offensive linemen around. It just seems like offensively you work with the guys that you have that what they do best, right?
Oh, no doubt. I think that's the benefit from us from a 5A and 6A level of being able to figure out in spring football kind of what's going on a little bit more ahead of time with those linemen up front. And so you kind of know what you have or where you need to look at a kid possibly as a two-way player or where he's where the big puzzle pieces fit in. You know, if you don't go through spring ball, you have that extra week. That's one of the first things after that acclimation four-day period that you're ready to go and that you're trying to find those guys as much as possible. You can do a lot in the athletic period if you don't have spring ball, of course. But, you know, the game of high school football comes down to blocking and tackling as much as anything else.
You guys got a long way to go. Practice, as we mentioned, won't start for a week from Monday before you guys get going, and then you've got you'll have a scrimmage. You'll have then you'll be into three really good non-district games that you guys are playing. Let's look at 18-5A. The playoff teams last year were you, Brian, College Station, and Huntsville, and those look like pretty good teams again. Who's got among the other teams in there? And I know there have been some changes, and there's Rudder certainly the second year under Coach Compton with a chance to build up. If somebody's got a chance to break into that top four, who do you think's the best chance to do that?
I mean,
maybe putting you on the spot on that. I'm not trying to do that, but tell me the positives of the other of some of these other teams out there, because I think all of them had positives.
Oh, there's no doubt. I think the league is very competitive. I think when you look at it, you look at when Coach Raffo came to Consult in our second year, and the system is the year we went up to Lake Travis and beat them when they were number one in the state, coming off of I believe it was four or five state championships. You know, the second year in the system always is everybody's a little bit more understanding of what you're trying to accomplish offensively and defensively. Those kids have learned it from the junior varsity and the freshman level. So I really think that Rudder has a chance to be a definite up-and-comer this year. I think Willis also has some talented athletic kids that I think can really get it going. They turned the ball over early in the first quarter against us two or three times. Otherwise, it's a good football game. You know, I think those six have a chance to really make a dent and see how it goes in the long run. And I think that 18-5A, especially, you know, Huntsville, ourselves, Brian, and College Station High, those four are going to be downright wars. But if you look past Willis and Rudder, I don't think there's a you could end up getting a loss that you don't need to have on your record. That's for sure.
Well, and I agree with this. Some really quality teams. We were talking about this earlier when we were talking about the spread offense as you pointed out, there's a lot of different spreads, but a lot of people run a form of spread offense at the Texas high school level. And we were talking about that, and I sort of argued that maybe we get more matchup differences in football, kind of like we used to do in basketball, but. It's not somebody just didn't line up and say, okay, that's the better team. Sometimes you just match up better than when you're running the spread against certain teams.
Well, I think you're always fitting your pieces of the puzzle in comparison to theirs. And you need to be able to find those matchups and not necessarily exploit the weaknesses of a defense all the time. I think there's some things you have to do offensively that you have to become great at to form your identity.
Right.
But there's some times in certain situations when you need to know what player you have that can attack one of their players the best, and then use him accordingly.
All right. Brian Kelp, thanks for being with us. Camp is next week. They can contact you and the Tiger football camp and be ready to go Monday morning. Just show up out there, right?
Yeah, and if you have any questions, they can email me at bcope@csisb.org.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you very much, and I appreciate all that y'all do for high school athletics. It is a great thing for our kids. I know they're always reading the Eagle every Saturday morning to see what y'all have written about them and check everything out. So we appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Now there's all kinds of pressure on me. Thanks, Brian.
No problem. See you guys.
There you go. That was today's you can't mess up. You can't mess up.
I'm not fearless. I'm not fearless.
No, you don't have any courage, according to what we were talking about earlier. That was today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer is proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break and come back and wrap up with the news. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Polaris Fun Center reminds you that the summer is here and it's time to ride. Find your new Polaris during the summer sales event going on now at Polaris Fun Center. Get huge rebates across the entire lineup from the world leader in off-road innovation, like $1,000 off a Ranger XP 900, $800 off Sportsman XP 1000, not to mention all the other huge rebates for Razor and Polaris Ace, with financing as low as 2.99% on every machine in the lineup. It's the Polaris summer sales event at Polaris Fun Center, just 1.5 miles north of Villa Maria on Texas Avenue in Bryan, where they sell and service fun, not tractors.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
It's summertime and a great time for sizzling hot deals at Normandy Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Normandy Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with an incredible $800 finance rebate, $700 to implement rebate, and a $500 cash rebate, making your price only $18,395 or $241 per month. Normandy asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Normandy Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor, so now is the time to make the drive to Normandy Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials too at normandytractor.com. Normandy Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas, and remember, nobody beats Norm G Tractor.
Spirit Ice Arena is cooling things down this summer with a schedule packed full of icy activities for you and your family. Our sensational summer camps have already begun and will continue throughout the summer. Ages 5 to 12 are welcome. We offer private skating lessons, Zamboni lessons, broom ball, hockey, and more. Plus, we host the coolest birthday parties in town. Come chill out with us during public skate open 7 days a week. For more information on all the cool things we have to offer, visit spiriticearena.com today. That's spiriticearena.com.
Listen to the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieland.com.
Welcome back. Bob Bloom joined by Kelly Brown to tell us what's going on out there. What's going to be in the paper tomorrow?
Well, right now online, news today is a trial that Walker was covering all week. This woman who was accused and convicted yesterday of trying to hire a hitman to kill her ex because they're in a custody battle. So jurors went in this morning anticipating to hear the punishment testimony in the case, and she faced life in prison. Though she had never before been convicted of a felony, therefore she was eligible for probation. Okay? Yeah. So, to be clear, it was solicitation of capital murder. It didn't happen because it was a undercover police officer who had been tipped off by someone she was involved with at the time. And
this is quite the...
I know, the made-for-TV movie.
She
goes in today, and again, she could have gotten probation, but the jury also could have given her up to life, you know, in prison. So she ended up pleading out and got 15 years. What do you think? Is that good enough?
You know, it's hard because she wasn't going to kill somebody, but she was going to hire someone to kill somebody. So I'm going to say 15 years is probably all right. I'll say it's fine.
There was a case here in the 90s. It might have happened in the late 80s, but it went to trial in the early 90s, where a guy, his name is Bob Black, and he hired someone out of the Soldier Fortune magazine to kill his wife. And the hitman got life in prison because he testified against the guy who solicited the murder. And Bob Black, the husband, is now dead because he got the death penalty. They charged him with capital murder.
Interesting.
So, no, it's interesting that you were like, she didn't actually do it. She was just going to hire somebody to do it.
Well, but that guy didn't do it either, though, is what I'm saying.
Right, right.
So...
But what if she had spoken to, because there's a lot of contracted killers in Bryan College Station, especially ones that you just meet, and within an hour you
we
hire
have a lot,
them.
By the way, we have a lot of visitors in town for the Games of Texas, so maybe, you know, there's not actually a lot of contract killers in Bryan College Station.
I'm fairly sarcastic, so that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so switching gears entirely.
Yeah.
We've got the...
Don't kill anyone, but also don't hire anyone to kill anyone else. Just words to live by.
You never know when it's going to be an undercover police officer.
How many times? Age-old story.
Right.
Fool me once. Shame on me.
Okay. Be quiet. the Games of Texas, 8,000 athletes are in town, and they estimate that they brought another 12,000 people along with them. So, sandwich shops, if you don't already know it, they're here. They're going to be in your eateries all weekend. Expect lines at restaurants, and the hotels are filled up. So this is good news, good for the economy. They say that it brings in about $6 million a year to the community. A year. They had it last year and this year. But when you look at the last decade, they have hosted these games more than any other city in Texas. And I will tell you this, and this is for, like, someone called it intramural games. That's kind of what it's like. It's 18 and up. It's 16 different sports, and my favorite one in there being, of course, disc golf. I think that maybe you should enter this next year. Maybe swimming.
I'm not really a swimmer. I know you're going to find that hard to believe.
Pickleball?
No, that's not my game either.
Soccer?
I do know how to play soccer.
Okay. You're concerning me. So all these athletes...